The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Old Dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is the REI do-over. But before we get started, I just want to touch base with you guys and see how the new year is working for you. I hope you guys are just cranking along. I hope you have a great year ahead. And I can see 2020 has a lot of promise in it, especially for us real estate investors. So I'm hoping that all is going well. I'm hoping also that you put a plan together. I know I've been talking about that for months on end here. You're probably tired of it, but I'm going to talk about it some more today because I really believe it's really crucial for your real estate investing success. So before we get started with our topic, just a quick tip for the day. Rentometer.com, rentometer.com. You may already be familiar with it, but it's a great way to sort of check out what market rates are in an area that you're looking in. It not only kind of gives you a good, they kind of give you a medium, average, sort of ranking on rents. You plug in, let's say you've got a one bedroom, one bath apartment, or you've got maybe a three bedroom, two bath home, and you're trying to find out what the rental rates are in your area. You can get those averages, but what's really cool about it too is that they do give you like a map, and you can actually click on a map of your specific area. So if you're, let's say on Oak Street, well, you can look at the map and see if there are other places on Oak Street that have the same, pretty much the same criteria as your property, whatever it may be. If it's a three bedroom, two bath, single family home, that there you can find another one, maybe even across the street. And so it's kind of neat because it gives you an idea. Now, Rentometer, I probably wouldn't use it alone. I would probably use it in conjunction with other methodologies. You can sometimes you can go into Zillow and Realtor.com and others to get an idea of what rents are in the area. But the cool thing about it is that it's a real quick read. You can do it for free. You do get more services if you, I think there's a very small annual fee and you get a lot of bonuses. You can do a lot more searches and so forth. So, that's what I'd recommend. We do have a link. It's one of our recommended services on our website. You might want to check that out. Okay, well, let's move on to the REI do-over. Now, as I've mentioned here, the last few months, I've really been emphasizing the need for developing what I would call a living strategic and real estate investing plan. And I call it living because it is something that should be constantly changing and constantly revised, not just something that sits on a shelf, but something that you open up and you really actively interact with it on a daily basis, if you can. The idea of this is to create a plan so that you can achieve your goals. The most successful real estate investors have plans, and they work that plan to meet and even surpass their goals. You know, let's say, for example, you're just starting out and you want to acquire a fourplex during 2020. Well, you know, it just kind of starts with you research what's necessary to make that a reality. So it starts with a lot of questions, right? And you want to find out answers to questions like, where will I buy it? How much will it cost? How do I find one, or what steps are necessary? What's my buying criteria? How old a building would I want? And what is sort of the school ratings in the area that I might want to buy in, and crime rates and so forth? You really start to define exactly what you're looking for and where. And after you've got a pretty good idea on answering some of those questions, and I'm just kind of giving an overview of the plan. You know, your outline, for example, you may come up with strategies such as, okay, I'm going to devote 10 hours a week. Okay, maybe you're working full time still, and you're working 10 hours a week to efforts that will help me to accomplish my goal. And then you talk about some of the strategies involved there. I'm going to call agents and brokers in the areas that I want. I'm going to develop relationships, meet with them if possible. Some of my marketing efforts might be a direct mail. I'm going to be networking with other investors to find out what they have done in the area and what recommendations they have, and start compiling a good analysis of the area and understand it. And so after you've got your plan written and mapped out, then you actually begin the implementation stage. As you're implementing it, you're recording details. This is really important. It's just not looking at it and then doing it, but you're actually recording the details of how each step, okay, helped you to achieve your goal, or helped you at least to get closer to your goal. And as you carefully track and monitor your successes, as well as the things that didn't go so well, right, you should be constantly reviewing, revising, and re-engineering so you can make your plan, you know, just you're sort of honing it down to the most effective use of your time, effort, and resources, that you're spending wisely, that you're using your time effectively. Because if your time, especially if your time is limited, you want to make sure that you use every minute of your time effectively. Okay, so if something doesn't work, you know, you tweak it, try it again. Sometimes you have to wait. Like, you don't do, let's say, a direct mail campaign and you mail out, 5,000 cards and expect, immediate response. Sometimes, people have to see those cards in front of them, over, 5, 6, 7 month period. And so you can't get totally discouraged and just trash it. Oh, direct mail doesn't work. There are certain things you have to understand the dynamics. And that's why it's important when you're putting the plan together is to talk to other investors and what their responses, what their returns are on direct mail or whatever strategy you're implementing. Okay. So, but if you're doing something that really it doesn't require that kind of a longer term, and it's not working, you start to put it aside. You're constantly monitoring and testing so that eventually over time, what you're going to have is a tried, true, proven plan that will work not only this year, but in successive years as well. And there is one constant, when it comes to real estate, okay? It's generally unchanging, solid, and constant. Well, you're probably saying, well, that's not necessarily true. Okay. Well, certain things are. But it's also at the same time, it's always changing. I know that sounds contradictory, but there are certain things that are solid and there are certain things that are changing. The things in real estate that are solid and consistent and unchanging is the fact that real estate is always a good investment. It always will have tangible value. And as history shows, even though it may go down in value, it always goes back up and likely will increase in value over time. So, this is what makes it a good investment. Okay, those are the things that are pretty solid. But there are other things that are always changing that we can't necessarily have an impact on. Market conditions can change. The economy can change. Community transformation and planning, government regulations, even the tenants, the types of tenants that are in that area can change over time. So why do we have to revise and change, constantly adapt and re-engineer? Sometimes we don't have a choice. There are those things that I mentioned, we can't necessarily change the economy, right? So, you know, there are local and national factors that require us to make a change. You know, I've had guys on the show, Jay Scott talked about, you know, how he was flipping like crazy in this one area, but the market changed and flipping wasn't the best way to do it. So he kind of focused more on rental properties. So sometimes you adjust and adapt. Sometimes we purposely want to change. And this is a good thing if you're trying to, you know, to be successful and achieve your goals, because you want to change to make things better. Maybe you've got a, you know, it's just too stressful. You've got too much stuff on your plate. You want to reduce it down. You want to make it time efficient. You want to alleviate problems that may be happening with your rental properties or whatever. You want to increase your income, or maybe just in general, grow and expand your business. So these are good reasons to change that you do have some control on. In either case, whether it's something that's out of our control or something within our control, you know, these are, we always need to be adaptable and ready to change. You know, like for example, if you want to grow, you know, so you're looking at a faster, more aggressive growth strategy, you realize that, you know, maybe the cash flow that you're making is not what you anticipated. You thought it'd be better. So what can you do? You know, you can change things. You can reduce expenses. You can increase your income by increasing rents, or maybe you're going to put in some things. Maybe you're paying utilities or water, and so you're going to put in some water saving devices, toilets and faucets and things of that nature to, again, to boost your cash flow. Sometimes, you know, you want out and you're thinking, this is not what I thought it was. And, you know, I'm going to make the big change here and I'm going to just step away. But, you know, the idea is if you're working it right and you put together a good solid plan, you shouldn't get to that point where you want out. Because even if when you run into a conflict, you re-engineer, you change things to make things better. You know, sometimes I've had a bad property management. I brought in great property management and boom, the problem went away. And all of a sudden it's a lot more stress-free and it becomes, you know, more of a pleasure to do the things that you're involved with. You know, or sometimes you're thinking, well, this is way too active for me. I want a more passive strategy. So you re-engineer, see if you can change those factors. When I first started investing, you know, I wanted passive cash flow. I just thought of it as like buying stocks, and I'm just going to get dividends and it'll pay. And so I went out and I bought three turnkey properties, and I thought that would be a good way to start off. And it did start off pretty good, but then I realized it was a little bit too good to be true. You know, you have to have the right tenants, you have to have the right property management, or things can go awry, and they did with me. And, you know, also you've got to buy in the right neighborhoods. And so there are certain things that you will do to adapt and change to make it work the way that you want it to be. You know, sometimes, like I said, there are things that'll happen where you have no choice. You know, there are people talking about a recession coming up. So, you know, you want to adjust not only when it happens, but try to anticipate if there is a recession coming up. You know, how are you strategically implementing your plan? Well, you may want to liquidate more. If you think a recession's coming soon, you want to have cash on hand because prices are going down. You want to be able to buy those great deals out there too, you know. Those kind of things with an economy, you can try to anticipate. Who knows when we have been in the longest area of growth ever in our history in the U.S. right now. So who's to say when that recession will hit? But there are things that we can't affect too. You know, a major employer can move out of an area where, you know, so was supplying renters for you. A natural disaster, hurricane, floods, tornadoes, earthquakes, whatever. You know, I bought in an area, one of the issues I encountered in Memphis, it was a great area. It was a good mix of rental properties plus home, you know, properties that were owned by the people that lived in them. And then it changed. It became a big rental area, and property values dropped because of that. I had no control on that. I didn't even know that was coming. So there are things like that. You know, there's obviously the local economic changes. Sometimes you're losing money and you have to see, wow, why am I losing money? What's going on? Maybe there were some unforeseen capital expenditures. Maybe utility costs were higher than you had anticipated. Now, you know, there's ways you can try to prepare for those things. If you really are smart when you're buying, you're going to get a good inspector in there, and you're going to try to find those unforeseen capital expenditures. You're going to want to get prior utility bills for the last 2-3 years and be able to monitor. So there's things that you can do that can help to prevent those things. But sometimes you're in it and it happens and boom, you know, you've got a bad loan and it's just taken too much of your profit. So you need to refinance and get a better interest rate or better terms. As I mentioned, sometimes your strategy no longer works. Maybe you're a wholesaler and boom, it's just, there's not the foreclosures and the other things that you depended on to be able to make your business work. So maybe you move into more of a flipping type thing, or maybe you just buying rental properties or doing other strategies. The ideal thing is that you are, you want to be focused in an area that you understand well. So it's important that you talk to other investors and know what they're doing and what they've dealt with, especially experienced folks that have been doing it for 20 years or so. If you have little or no cash, like for example, a lot of people start off wholesaling and they do that mainly to generate some cash. Maybe they're making $5,000 to even $40,000 per transaction on a flip, or it's a good way for them to start getting cash. They can use that cash to buy properties. I think we've had some guests on that have talked about, they'll go ahead and they'll flip like 3 properties, and the 4th property they'll buy, and then they'll flip 3, and then the 4th they'll buy. So they're building up their rental portfolio at the same time. So the strategies may change along the ways. Once they get a whole bunch of rental properties, for example, then they may not have to flip as often, or maybe flip at all. And maybe they can just look at growing their rental portfolio because they've got the cash flow and the equity and so forth to be able to do that. And there's a lot of different strategies people use to get started. Maybe they're house hacking, and after 1 year, they want to move out of the place that they're living in and then do the same. And so your strategy, goes on that way for a while. But when you get to a certain level, you want to start looking at your strategy and say, maybe now I've got these single family homes, I think I'm ready to start going into multifamily, for example. So that's a positive kind of change that you might want to try to do to, again, be more efficient, to be more effective, and hopefully to create a passive income source that will help you along the way. We've been talking a lot about Airbnb and, how you can actually get started in Airbnb with virtually nothing. You might have to partner with somebody to be able to get the furniture for the place and get in there and pay the first month's rent. But if you partner with somebody and they can split the income with you, once you start building it up and you get the cash flow going, then you can start to move out on your own. It's that idea of, revising, making the adjustments you need to do along the way. I think it's important that if you are a real estate investor, you keep in mind it's a business. And with a business, it makes sense to optimize, whether it's your marketing and how you manage your expenses. With marketing, you look for how can I spend less to get more in terms of results. And reducing expenses, of course, will broaden that little chasm there sometimes between what you have to pay to keep that property and what the income is and the amount of income you get to actually take out of that property, your cash flow. As you start to grow, you may want to hire staff, and so that's going to be an increase in your expenses, a conscious decision that you need to weigh out and see how that'll impact every other aspect of what you're doing. How much do you have to make in terms of income to be able to afford that first hire, for example? There are a lot of benefits to being that person who is constantly monitoring, constantly revising, constantly re-engineering. You could save yourself tons of time. Maybe you hire a virtual assistant that just all of a sudden gives you all kinds of time, and you can focus your efforts in the area where you're most effective. Maybe you're really good at finding those deals, and if that's the case, then you can focus all your energy in that area. Or maybe you're doing direct mail, and you've been doing sort of a one color postcard or even a letter, and you decide to do 4 color postcards, and boom, all of a sudden you've boosted your 50% return on your responses to those. I mean, I'm not saying that these things will necessarily produce that, but I'm saying that, as you work it and as you try and test as you go along, you can see significant increase and boosts in your income, in your in the goals that you've set out to achieve, so that you're reaching your goals and you're moving to where you want to be. Especially if you're looking at it as a retirement tool, you want to be able to optimize and get the best results. The bottom line is, whether by choice or other factors out of your control, you always need to figure that that things are going to change. And sometimes it's by choice, sometimes it's not. But you always have to have your finger on the pulse of your business and the market, so you know what's happening, where things are going. If there's things happening in a negative way, you want to be able to strategically adjust your business. Maybe you have to sell properties or whatever it is to adjust. You should be always evaluating, monitoring, and revising the fruits of your effort, and try to make it more and more effective, so that this plan, which over a period of years will be so effective, it'll be like a manual for success that you can use to continue in your efforts in real estate investing. The idea is that you want to have all this work together, so that within the framework of a dynamic, living, strategic real estate investing plan, that you will be able to build your business to where you want it to be, for your current cash flow needs, as well as that legacy that you're looking to develop to maybe hand down to your family. Well, that's it for today. Please note, Old Dog, the listeners, everything I talked about today will be included in our extensive show notes on the Old Dog's website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And you're going to look for the episode entitled The REI Do-Over. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.